I'm sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya, right? Hajiva Balayashe Samsara Vidra
Punya Rohili to me.
All right. Let's see. Set this up. Second. I'm not even going to be able to lift my head with this going on. Garlands are too big, actually. That's all right. All right. Share plus. Whoops. Okay. Okay. You got cartels here?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Vishnu. Doesn't work.
No, it's not working.
No.
Because that one machine is off.
Okay. Anyway, you can all hear without it.
Yeah.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Bijana Palava Idibaru Halte Bijana Palava Idibaru Halte Shodananda Raja Jana Ranjana Shodananda Raja Jana Ranjana Bunate Rabana Chalati Yamunate Rabana Chalati Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravidikacharya Ostutera Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Shidhoidas Thakur Kijai Rem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shiva Sadigo Bhakta Vrindikajai Shishi Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Machuranam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shivani Lasidevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Parivananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Which verse do you remember? Is it which verse you read?
Chapter 15.
Yeah, I know that. Which, the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. First, seventh canto, chapter 15, Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So text one. Does anyone have it?
Yes.
Okay. Shri Narada Vacha. Karma. Nishta. Vija. Kechit. Tapo. Nishta. Ripa Pare. Swadhyaye. Anye. Pravachane. Kechana. Jnana. Yoga Yoho. Shinara Vacha. Karma Nishta Dvija Kechit.
Karma Nishta Dvija Kechit.
Tapo Nishta Nripa Pare.
Tapo Nishta Nripa Pare.
Swadhyaya Indye Pravachane.
Swadhyaya Indye Pravachane.
Kechana Jnana Yoga Yoho. Shinara Vacha. Karmanishta Dvija Kichit. Tapo Nishta Nripa Pare. Swadhyaya Nye Pravachane. Kichana Jnana Yoga Yoho. Shinara Vacha. Karmanishta Dvija Kichit. Tapo Nishtan Ripapare. Swadhyaya Nye Parvachane. Kechana Jnana Yoga Yoho. Anyone else? That's about it. Okay, we'll go ahead. First, I want to welcome the devotees who are joining us online. Nimai Natai, Premalata, Nandisha, Chitshakti from Germany, Bhagavat from Balkan areas. So, we'll go on.
Shinardavacha.
Narada Muni said,
Karma Nishta,
attached to ritualistic ceremonies,
according to one's status,
as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra.
Dvijaha,
the twice born,
especially the Brahmanas.
Kechit,
some.
Kapanishtaha,
very much attached to austerities and penances.
Nripa,
O king.
Apare,
others.
Swadhyaye,
in studying Vedic literature.
Anye,
others.
Pravachane,
delivering speeches on Vedic literature.
Kechana,
some.
Jnana Yoga Yaho,
enculturing knowledge and practicing Bhakti Yoga. So, translation, Narada Muni continued, my dear king, some brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities, some are attached to austerities and penances, and still others study the Vedic literature. Whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially Bhakti Yoga. So there's no purport to this text, so I'm just going to read the next text with its purport.
Jnana nishtaya dehani kavyan yantyam icchata daive chata dabhave shad itare bhyo yatar hataha.
A person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a Brahmin who adheres to impersonal monism, jnana nishta. In the absence of such an advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karma, kanda. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
There are two processes by which to get free from material bondage. One involves karma kanda, jnana kanda, and karma kanda, and the other involves upasana kanda.
Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlasting servants of the Lord to render loving service unto Him. In this verse, the words anantyam icchata refer to persons who desire to achieve liberation from material bondage and merge into the existence of the Lord. Devotees, however, whose objective is to associate personally with the Lord, have no desire to accept the activities of karmakanda or jnanakanda for pure devotional services above both karmakanda and jnanakanda.
Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakarma jnana vritam.
In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch of jnana or karma. Consequently, when Vaishnavas distribute charity, they do not need to find a brahmana performing the activities of jnanakanda or karmakanda. The best example in this regard is provided by Advaita Goswami, who after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, offered charity to Haridas Thakur, although it was known to everyone that Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmin family, and was not interested in the activities of jnana kanda or karma kanda. Charity, therefore, should be given to the first-class transcendentalist, the devotee, because the Shastras recommend Mukhanam apisidhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kutishvapi mahamune. A great sage among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan, or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 14th chapter, text 5. A Vaishnava is in a higher position than a jnani, and therefore Advaitacharya accepted Haridas Thakur to be the person to accept his charity. The Supreme Lord also says,
Name bhaktas chaturvedi, mad bhakta shapacha priyaha, Tasmai deyam tato grayam satcha pujo yatayam. Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruit of activity or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Hari Bhakti Vilas, 10th, 127. Therefore, even if not born in a Brahmin family, a devotee, because of his devotion to the Lord, is above all kinds of Brahmanas, whether they be Karmakanda or Gyanakandis. In this regard, it may be mentioned that Brahmanas in Vrindavan who are Karmakandis and Gyanakandis sometimes decline to accept invitations to our temple because our temple is known as the Antareji Temple or the Anglican Temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in the Shastra and the example set by Advaitacharya, we give prasad to devotees regardless of whether they come from India, Europe, or America. It is the conclusion of the Shastras that instead of feeding many Gyanakandi or Karmakandi Brahmanas, it is better to feed a pure Vaishnava regardless of where he comes from. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 30. Api chatsuracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sarureva samantavya samyagvyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be understood saintly because he is properly situated. Thus, it doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmin family or non-Brahmin family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. So, Omagana Timadanda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So there was a very interesting story that was just told by Gurudas to us that relates to this particular verse of how one should be accepted as a Vaishnava by behavior. And of course, you have that verse, Ahobatasva Pachato Garyan Yati Vagre Vartate Namatupya, that how wonderful it is that if someone is chanting the holy names of Krishna, Tapus Tapus Jehovah Shashna Aryar Brahmanucha Nama, he's come to the platform being Brahman, he's performed all the austerities and all the preliminary practices, and he's a Brahman. Because what does Brahman mean? Brahman means one who knows Brahman. It doesn't mean someone who's born in a certain family. Although in India, generally, it's considered like that. If you have the name Trivedi, Chaturvedi, whatever Vedi, then you consider it, Gupta, different names like that. In Bengal, you have like Shudra names. If your name, like Prabhupada said, the appellation Das is a lower class appellation. In other words, that means you're just servant. So anyway, what to speak if you're a bhangi? Nobody wants to go near you. So Gurudas told a very funny story about this. He said, when they first started preaching in Vrindavan, the devotees were staying in the Radha Damodar temple, because the Radha Damodar temple is Srila Prabhupada's eternal abode. And Prabhupada has asked us to maintain his rooms in that temple and do the worship daily and offer it to Prabhupada. So anyway, so the devotees were staying there, and the person in charge of the Radha Damodar temple at that time, his name was Gorachandra Goswami. And there are these Goswami families. They're not actually renunciates, but they're descendants of the original pujaris who were working under the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And these Goswami families, they took possession of many of the temples in Vrindavan and elsewhere, and they sold, some of them sold much of the temple property in order to just in order to maintain their families and send their kids to a good university. So there's like the whole Loy Bazaar. Loy Bazaar is where you go shopping. Everyone knows where Loy Bazaar is.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said, Krishna is everywhere in Vrindavan except for Loy Bazaar. The reason Prabhupada said that is because the devotees, instead of going and chanting Hare Krishna and reading and hearing, they would go to Loy Bazaar and shop there. You know, people were very enthusiastic about shopping. So the Radhanamrata temple used to own practically all of Loy Bazaar. And it was sold to different shopkeepers. And, you know, some of them were very nice. Some of them were my friends. They're like in Gangotri and other places. So Gaurachandra Goswami had these thick glasses. Like in the old days, they didn't have thin plastic glasses. So he had those like really thick glasses. And he was addicted to smoking, in spite of being, you know, the Goswami family, addicted to smoking biddies. You know what that is? It's a you roll it yourself Indian cigarettes. So he was very much addicted. And Gurdas was telling us that he didn't really respect the devotees that much. In fact, if the devotees offered him some prasad that they had offered to the deity, he would refuse to accept. He said, "Oh, well, that's just, you know, there's that discrimination." But he was still addicted to smoking biddies. Can you imagine the contradiction? I mean, Brahmanas, I mean, where do you find in Krishna's pastimes or any of these Brahmanas smoking biddies? You don't see that. It's actually a malecha. It's a shudra activity. I mean, to pull smoke into your lungs. And Brahmanas didn't have mobile phones either, but I have one. Anyways, I have several. He was smoking biddies, and Gurudas used to hide his biddies from him. You know, take them away so he couldn't find them. He was just looking for them. And because he had, you know, he couldn't see very well, he had these big glasses. He was just, you know, what happens? Anyway, so he would refuse to take food from the devotees, but he was just addicted. So there's more to this story. So one time, this Gaurachandra Goswami and his family invited the devotees, including Prabhupada, to take prasad. Now, of course, they wouldn't take the remnants of the devotees. They'd take Prabhupada's remnants. So they all went to take prasad. You know, nice Bengali prasad. And they were eating very nicely. And they finished their meal. And Gaurachandra Goswami was so addicted to the smoking, the cigarettes, that he had to smoke a cigarette after the meal, but he didn't want to do it in front of the devotees. So he went to what he thought was behind a door. He wanted to hide behind a door. And do it. You heard this story already? So he wanted to hide behind the door, but because he couldn't see properly, he actually hid in front of the door. So he was in front of the door. And, you know, not hiding, but he just couldn't see where the devotees were. So he just started puffing on these cigarettes, and there was smoke pouring out and everything like that. And Gurudas said that, you know, he looked over and he saw what Gaurachandra Goswami was doing, and he kept himself. He didn't laugh. He just, you know, held back his laughter because he thought it was so ridiculous that he was like a Goswami, you know, someone who's the Brahmin, he won't eat the food cooked by the malechas. And he was smoking cigarettes right after a meal, right in front of all the devotees. But he didn't want to laugh because that was bad etiquette.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada turned around and saw that Gurudas was holding something back. And he looked around and Prabhupada saw that Gaurachandra Goswami was smoking. And Prabhupada started to laugh like anything, you know, just like, oh, you know, just like really uproariously laughing. And then all the devotees started laughing. And then Gaurachandra Goswami looked at them and was wondering, what are they laughing at? And then he realized, oh my God, they can see me smoking a cigarette. So he threw his cigarettes, you know, to the side and just started chanting, Gopal, 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 like making believe he wasn't smoking. So this is an example, like, of the Brahmanas. You know, obviously he's a great devotee. We don't want to offend him because he's a Brajapasi. And Brajapasis don't really have to follow the same rules that we all have to follow. And they're very dear to Krishna. You know, even the monkeys, the dogs, all the residents are dear to Krishna. But it's an example of, let's say, devotees who are serving Krishna and following strictly, not being respected by someone who is not exhibiting exactly the Vaishnava qualities. And of course, there's many examples of that. In the example I gave the other day when we were talking about Rath Yatra was Jagannath Puri. That, you know, sometimes you have the pandas, they're mixing the Jagannath Mahaprasadam with fish. Did you know that? No. The Pujaris don't do that. The pandas.
Pandis?
The pandas, you know. They,
well, yeah.
They do that. Yeah, Prabhupada talked about that. They may take the Jagannath Mahaprasad and mix it with fish. Can you imagine? Prabhupada mentioned that. And then they won't let us in the temple, you know. One time I went to the Sakshi Gopal temple, thought I could get in. You know Sakshi Gopal?
Yes.
I definitely wanted to see Sakshi Gopal. And I was with devotees from India. So the first devotee went in, said, I'm a Brahmin from Gujarat. They let him in. And the next devotee said, I'm a Brahmin from Bengal. They let him in. And then I said, I'm a Brahmin from New York. And they wouldn't let me. And I got angry at that point. I said, Krishna's going to punish you for this. So what happened, this is an interesting story. About 5 seconds later, a big thunderbolt from the sky came down and like 20 meters in front of the temple hit the ground.
Wow.
You know, and I said to them, look, Krishna's speaking. You better let me in. And they still didn't let me in. And then another thunderbolt hit in the same spot. But they still wouldn't let me in. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Krishna was sending them a sign. I mean, do you need to be an expert to read different signs to understand what Krishna wants? I mean, any fool would understand that a thunderbolt comes down right after I said, Krishna's going to punish you. But they still didn't understand. So that's how determined they are, especially in Jagannath Puri. I mean, everywhere else I've been able to go in the temples.
Yeah.
You know, Tirumala, I go in the temple. Anywhere I want to go, I go in the temple. But Jagannath Puri, no. So why are people not accepting that, someone can be a Vaishnava from outside? I think it's for many reasons. One is they're afraid of losing their exclusive status, which means ability to make money as Brahmins. Because if you examine Indian history, let's say you go to Bihar many, many years ago. I mean, actually many years ago, over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago in Bihar, the Brahmanas, as they are now, declared their exclusive right to be Brahmanas. In other words, nobody could be a Brahmin unless they were born in a Brahmin family. And the real reason for that was that when you have a monopoly, you know what a monopoly is? That you could limit the amount of supply. If you're ever studying the university, the supply and demand, let's say supply and demand, some of you have studied.
In commerce,
if you limit the supply and the demand is constant, then the price goes up, right? But if you increase the supply, the price goes down, right?
Yeah.
So if you keep the limit on the supply of Brahmins, then the Brahmins can charge. Like that's Kali Yuga Brahmin. They're charging. If you want your house, Griha Pravesh, they have a price list. You can pay us, whatever, 10,000 rupees. To bless your children, you want to die, a funeral, okay. Auntie HD, 200,000 rupees. You can't die without us. Or at least you can't have a funeral. If you don't hire us, your father or whoever died is going to go to hell. So it's like blackmail. Right? It's like Brahman. It's like a Gunda business. So like I was in Fiji, and Fiji has like
legal Brahmins. You have to be a legal Brahmin to do a funeral. You can't just be to a funeral unless you're a legal Brahmin. So this Brahmana, he was actually quite nice, was doing the funeral ceremony for someone, and I was there. And the head of the Brahmana Sabha, you know, the head Brahmin, came in, and he was smoking cigarettes outside. And not at all Brahminical. But the question is money. It's really, this is the question. Of course, a real Brahmin does not charge for his activities. Even the doctors, like Prabhupada mentions Murari Gupta, who was a doctor, Brahmin. He didn't charge. You know, people would give him something, an offering. But it's not that he would go in with a price list for his different activities, like the doctors today. That's why it's so expensive to go to the doctor. Everyone has to have insurance. Everyone's worried about Obamacare coming to an end, so they won't be able to go to a doctor or whatever and pay so much money. Or you have to go to some public hospital where they take out the wrong organ. They cut the wrong leg, you know. So they do that sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to write on your body with a marker so they know which part to cut. So to make sure they don't do it. So Brahmin wouldn't charge anything. So these Kali Yuga Brahmins. So what happened? Let's talk about Bihar. What happened is the people revolted against the Brahmins. And you had several types of revolts against the Brahmanas. You had people who went to the forest just to revolt against them. You had the Jains, and you had the Buddhas. There were three types of revolts. The Jains and the Buddhas were actually revolts against the Brahmanas who were using the Vedic literatures. Like you see, the Buddhists, they decry the Vedic literatures. Actually, Buddha himself never preached against the existence of the soul, even though the Buddhists will tell you that. He never preached against the existence of God. However, they were revolting against these Brahmanas who were cheating them. So in Kali Yuga, also, you know, people don't like me to quote this, but in Kali Yuga it's mentioned that many times demons will take birth in Brahmin families. It's one of the predictions in the Bhagavatam. So it's not that everybody in a Brahmin family is a demon. That's not what I'm saying. So one should understand who is a Brahmana by quality. And also one should understand who is a devotee by quality. It's not that simply, you know, I took initiation or someone took initiation, that they're a devotee. You know, what is a devotee anyway? Lord Chaitanya, he said, I'm not a devotee. He said, if I was a devotee, if I love Krishna, how can I maintain my life? So Lord Chaitanya was very showing humility. Chanadapi sunichena, tharayiva sihishana. But we should think, you know, I'm not a devotee. I'm just trying to in the future become a devotee, to become a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. So this humility has to be inculcated. And then we should judge things according to a person's qualities, not according to a person's dress. You know, whether someone's a sannyasi or whatever, you know, like Lord Chaitanya said, kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kinyan. Ye Krishna tatva veda, say Guru Hoy. He says, one who knows tatva, Krishna tatva, then he can be guru. But one who knows must act nicely too. So by activities and speech, we can judge who is actually a Brahmin, who is a Vaishnava. Not to see things externally. I mean, of course, the typical example Prabhupada gives is of the jackal who became covered by purple paint. You know that story. And he was accepted as the king of the forest until he opened his mouth. And then the real king ate him for prasadam, offered him to Lord Jagannath, and ate him. So anyway, so this is really the point. And this is there's so many verses like that. You know, like the Kipra Vipra Kipanyasi and Ahobata Swaha Pachatogi Garyan. I mean the verses I just quoted. How one should be accepted, and of course, as Prabhupada quotes here, makes reference to the story of Haridas Thakur and Dvaitacharya offering the Shraddha plate. Because Haridas Thakur is the best of the Brahmanas, because he knows Brahman. That's what Brahmana means.
And Haridas Thakur is not interested in karma kanda, jnana kanda. So, just one other point I wanted to mention that I made the other day in Nutalvan. That in the beginning, sometimes, if we find people interested in karma kanda and jnana kanda, we still encourage them to worship Krishna for that. Because the statement is, akama sarva kama moksha kama dharati tivrena bhakti yogini jetuk purusham param. And the typical example of that is Dhruva Maharaj. That was definitely he wanted, his bhakti was karma mishra bhakti. You understand? Because he wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So you can't say that he was engaged in the nyabhi lachita shunyam jnana karma navratamana kuryena krishnana bhakti uttamam. You can't say that. Krishna Shilam Bhakti Rutamam. You can't say that. But in the end, he achieved Krishna consciousness. So for as far as preaching Krishna consciousness, we do find people interested in karma kanda, jnana kanda, and we encourage them to worship Krishna to achieve their goals. But ultimately, they give that up. And Krishna says in the Gita, Chatur Bada Bhajantima, people come because of karma kanda and jnana kanda. They come because they want wealth, they come because they're inquisitive, they come because they want knowledge, and they come because they're in distress. All those are karma kanda and jnana kanda reasons. Krishna has four types of people approach us. So we have to utilize, as Narada Muni did with Dhruva Maharaj, utilize their motivation, their karma kanda and jnana kanda motivation, to actually bring them ultimately to the point of pure devotional service, but we don't want to smash them so much they run away before they realize. Isn't it? Before they realize, you know, that the point is to serve Krishna without any motivation, without karma, jnana, a karma or jnana, anavritam, before they realize that. So we encourage, like, or the example I gave and Prabhupada gave, was that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you have to feed them balam rice with ghee on it. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, when you advance in devotional service, you're not interested in basmati rice anymore. So, I mean, if you're still living to eat rather than eating to live after 25 years in the Hare Krishna movement, you got trouble. You understand? The difference between if you're living to eat or eating to live. You understand the difference between the two expressions? Living to eat means the goal of your life is to eat nicely. And eating to live means you're eating so you can serve Krishna. There's a difference. You know, turn the phrase around. So after a while, advancing in Krishna consciousness, we should get a little bit detached from the tongue. Dharmadeji vayati lobamoya sudurmati. If you're not getting detached from the tongue, you better chant better after 25 years. But in the beginning, yeah, we said, Prabhupada said, eat so much that it comes out of your mouth, basically. Prabhupada told, you know, eat so much it goes up to your neck. And we all did, I mean, I did that in the beginning. I don't know if you did that. Or maybe you're still doing it. But anyway, so Prabhupada wanted that in the beginning. But after a while, one, you know, starts to become a little detached. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Janam Cha Yad Ahoitakam. Anyway, so these are the points. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments? Yes.
Brahmana also, you see, influence Kshatriya, then Kshatriya, sometimes they are actually subside the they are also tortured. Sudras and all these
torture
in Bangladesh and India.
Not the real Kshatriyas. They're torturing the Shudras?
Yeah, so directly Brahmana could not do it, then throws Kshatriyas at it.
Torture to the Shudras?
Yeah, that's their not.
Then they're not Kshatriyas. Kshatriya means, the word Kshatriya means to protect others from harm. That's actually what the word. The Kshatriya is actually very paternal. In the
talking about the Gundas.
Oh, the Gundas.
Gundas, yeah. Gundas, the Kshatriyas. Gundas means, yeah. Gundas, they're
brain like that.
They're different.
Yes, they're
brain like
Gundas.
They're killing selfish reasons.
Gundas are
Gundas. So-called Brahmana, and I'm talking about so-called Kshatriyas.
No? Yeah, oh, so-called. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about real Kshatriyas. Yeah. Now, so-called they're just using their position to exploit. It's Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Brahmanas are using their position to make money. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And Kshatriyas are using their position to, you know, enjoy or exploit or cheat people. But a Kshatriya is supposed to be very paternal with people, you know, protecting like the father. Yeah, a Kshatriya is supposed to be like everyone's father. You know, you just go to him. You know, protect me. Like they went to, you know, they would go to Lord Ram. Even you have that story in the Mahabharata, or was it the Ramayana, where a dog went to the king. You know the story?
What?
It's in the Ramayana.
The dog asked the king for protection.
Yeah, like, you know, there was a dog. This is a funny story. A dog went to Lord Ram. Actually, a dog went to Lord Ram. This is from the Ramayana. So this dog had a complaint, went to the palace in Ayodhya. And the dog was barking. And Lakshman said, "What do you want, dog?" And the dog said, "I want to speak to Ram to make a complaint." You know, you've heard the story. You never heard the story? It's a famous story in India. How come I know it and you don't? So the dog goes to Lord Ram, and the dog says, "Look, I've been beaten by this Brahmana."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know the story. Yeah. So Ram says, "Call the Brahmana in." Okay, so the Brahmana comes in. He says, "Did you beat this dog?" And the Brahmana says, "Yes, I was hungry." You know, when you're hungry, you get angry a lot. So I was hungry. The blood sugar goes down. And Ram says, "It's not right. You have to be punished. So let's have a whole discussion. How to punish this Brahmin?" Because the Brahmanas are not supposed to be punished. You know, technically, you can't kill a Brahmin or torture him or anything like that. So there was discussion. Nobody could decide. So Ram said, "Why don't you ask the dog?" And the dog said, basically, make him temple president. I changed a little bit the story. Anyway, make him temple president. And everyone was shocked. Why should he become temple president? Why? And Ram said, "Ask the dog." And the dog said, "Yes, in my last life I was temple president. And because I had to take the karma of all the nonsense activities people were doing in the temple, I became a dog." You heard the story.
Oh, yeah.
And so make him temple president. You know, they said, well, head. Make him the head of the ashram. That's the actual story. But anyway, so, and then he'll become a dog in the next life. Because everyone was thought they were rewarding the Brahmana, but actually they were punishing the
Brahmana.
And making him temple president. So, don't worry. Don't worry, I'll take care of you in your next life. So, anyway.
But isn't it true, Maharaj, the temple president has to take 1/6 of the karma?
Yeah, but if he chants Hare Krishna seriously, he doesn't have to worry about it. That's why the temple president better chant good rounds.
Yeah.
Or else he'll be in big trouble. So, so the point I'm making by the story is that the king, like even Ram, he would take care of even the animals. You know, everybody had a right. The point is, everybody had a right to go to the king, the Kshatriya, and get his shelter. Not like nowadays, they're all gundas.
Yeah,
the Brahmanas are interested in money, and the Kshatriyas are gundas. Not all of them, I mean, they're exceptions.
Yeah.
I can't say everybody. But this is the Kali Yuga. And so in Kali Yuga, there's only one Dharma, Ekon Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one Dharma.
Only one.
You know, there's Vaishnava Dharma, is the only Dharma in Kali Yuga, basically. You know, these other Dharmas, unless they lead to Vaishnava Dharma, they're all useless. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected when he was talking to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was talking about Varnashram. He said, simply external. And when he was talking on the banks of the Godavari to Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is simply external, this Varnashram. We need Varnashram, but it has to be focused. It's Daiva Varnashram. Daiva Varnashram. So, anyway, so we're interested in Vaishnavism. I think we're going to have to end, because it's time. So I want to thank everybody for joining us online.
I have 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
Concerning the class presentation you did on Sunday, a question of that, I couldn't
further elaborate on that question. I put it in the wrong way. The question was actually, the acharyas, you're talking about Prabhupada being an acharya. Acharya would not do something which is impossible to follow. Is that my understanding of acharya?
No, he might do something that's impossible to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just eating one pat of butter every 3 days. That's Raghunath Das Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible for me to follow. Don't ask me to do it.
But I don't think he's considered an acharya.
Raghunath Das Goswami's an acharya. I mean, Rupa Goswami also is our acharya.
Mm-hmm.
And he did amazing austerities, you know. Srila Prabhupada is our personal acharya.
Yeah.
There's certain things that Prabhupada did I wouldn't follow myself, like he taught women how to wear saris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Well,
there's certain things. You know, Prabhupada's a Paramahansa. I'm not going to. Prabhupada woke up, another thing I couldn't do is wake up every morning at 1 o'clock in the morning and not sleep that much.
Yeah, he slept for 2 hours.
And he took a nap in the middle of the day, you know. 4 hours, basically, because he rested in the middle of the day between them. Or like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would wake up at 10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock?
Yeah.
He
would take rest like about 8 o'clock and wake up at 10 and do his writing. What do you think? How do you think he did so much writing? I mean, so many books, so much poetry and songs. He's an acharya. I can't follow. That's impossible for me to follow. If you ask me to get up at 10 o'clock at night, I'll become a zombie after one day. You understand? Is that? I don't think any of us can follow that. So, yeah, the acharya does do things that we can't do. That's his prerogative. I mean, Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is certainly an acharya. It's impossible for me to do what he did. These personalities came from the spiritual world. They're fully spiritual personalities. I couldn't even think about following them in that way. I mean, I could follow them, I could serve them. But, you know, anusar, anukar. Yeah, actually, there's two words. You should follow, but not imitate. So we don't want to imitate the acharyas, because you'd fall down if you go crazy.
Then we need a role model that we can imitate.
Prabhupada is our role model.
Yeah, only Prabhupada.
But we still don't imitate him. We still don't imitate. If we imitated Prabhupada, let's say if someone wanted to be a guru in ISKCON and they imitated Prabhupada, how Prabhupada was the guru, that would mean, you know, every morning I'd have to have like a big guru puja and cookie throws. Because people did that when Prabhupada first left the planet, but it didn't work. When people actually imitated Prabhupada, you know, originally the gurus, it was all like an imitation of Prabhupada as far as the external worship when Prabhupada left. It didn't work. It didn't work. So we have to, we have Prabhupada's example, but we have to understand what aspects of his example we actually copy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't do everything Prabhupada did.
Yeah.
I mean, externally, I mean, I would just, end up in a mental institution if I tried to. Sick in a mental institution if I tried to copy everything Prabhupada did. Okay, on that happy note, we have to end. All glorious to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.